Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shares for Beginners Weekend Watchlist.
G'day and welcome back to Shares for Beginners Weekend Watchlist, where we'll be taking a close look at an individual company, sector or ETF that you may wish to consider for your watchlist. It's not a recommendation to buy, but a way for you to learn how experts screen for value. Joining me today is Henry Fung from MF&Co Asset Management. G'day, Henry.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Today, we're talking about Breville, and the ASX code is BRG, a very well-known Aussie company making small electrical kitchen appliances. Tell us a little bit about the company.
So Breville is basically what we view as more of a premium brand. They've got two arms, where one arm they're actually producing their own products, and another arm where they're rebranding products. The main focus right now for me is the high-quality brand. So obviously, they're an Australian manufacturer, and they've actually grown quite strong in the past year because of the COVID thing. Mm. It's actually quite interesting because as people started working from home and the way we work changed, we're starting to see a lot more people want to replicate the type of coffees or type of food that they'd be having when they're going out to work. So they're willing to spend more on these premium type of products. Breville right now, they're pretty much global. But in America, that's where a very large chunk of the revenue comes from, and which is good to see because it's hard to see a small Australian company grow to be a big one and be very successful overseas. So that's one of the reasons why we like this.
And they're also they manufacture here as well. Everything's done in Australia.
That's right. That's right. And
that's incredible.
Absolutely.
We don't have a reputation much anymore for being manufacturers.
That's correct. So that's why I'm pretty excited about this company.
So they export directly from Australia. Their logistics and everything is Australia to the world. And how much are they involved in the United States? How big is the market that they've captured, and how much is the potential there?
In the US, just looking at their revenue numbers, about 75% of it comes from the US. Mm. So obviously they're three times bigger than the other combined areas, including ANZ, Australia, New Zealand, and Europe as well. Right now, with some of the forecasts that we have over there, is that Morgan Stanley came out a report. There's a $9.7 billion potential opportunity for revenue growth over there, which is massive. You know, just from America itself, then that's just huge. Now they're starting to look into moving into Italy and so and other countries as well. So they've got really big growth plans at the moment.
Breville's been a stellar performer for a very long period. If you look at the price growth over the years, it's been an outstanding growth story.
That's right. So over the past decade, they're up 900%, which is if you're looking at anything, that's done really, really well.
So what's the process that you go through in terms of evaluating this as being a company worth investing in?
The way we do things is generally from a top-down perspective rather than bottom-up. So a bottom-up tends to be people who look for good numbers and then look for a good story. So we do top-down, where we're looking for a good story and then we look for the good numbers. So when we've picked up Breville, our thoughts were, yes, okay, the work-from-home style is coming into vogue. People are starting to spend in appliances. When COVID first hit, we were worried that people weren't going to spend. How wrong we were about that. Instead of going on holiday, people were actually buying more stuff, which is obviously a positive for a company like Breville. Once we sort of recognize that segment and go, okay, well, there's a change, there's an opportunity there, that's when we start looking at, okay, what type of appliances, what type of companies that are available out there that are listed in Australia. And of course, that's how we came to Breville, which is expanding overseas, has a really good growth story. And from there, we then look at the numbers. We look at, for example, what their revenue growth is looking like, their EBIT growth, look at their expenses, look at their leverage levels, look at their price to earnings multiples and return on equity, that sort of thing. So just all the more standard types of ratios, just to make sure that the company is on an even keel. Obviously, right now, unfortunately, Breville is a little bit expensive, so we're looking looking for an entry, waiting for it to come back down a little bit before we go in. But the story itself is one thing that's really important for me. When it comes to growth stories and growth stocks and growth stories, what's important is to spend more time on the qualitative valuation rather than quantitative. Quantitative tends to fix itself if they're growing. Qualitative is important. So what's the story, right? How is the management like? Where's their expansion plans? How good is the management dealing with those expansion plans? So right now for us, with growth stocks especially, 60 to 70% or more of our focus is on the actual story itself. And as long as they haven't, you know, got insane amounts of debt or they've got revenue that's going backwards and so forth, a good story tends to fix those problems on the quantitative side. So we're more lenient on having a company with not as good quantitative numbers, for example, if it's too expensive, as long as the story is good and that story can bring those numbers up.
One of the figures you mentioned in there was the EBIT growth. What is EBIT growth?
Oh, EBIT, for intents and purposes, is just basically the earnings before interest and tax. EBIT growth is just its earnings growth after everything's been accounted for.
So the cost of production is taken into account as well and everything. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything. Yeah, everything is taken into account.
The difference between quantitative and qualitative analysis is basically one's about the numbers and one's more about the perception of the story. Is that a good way of describing it?
So quantitative is the one where you're coming up with the models, you're doing the DCF evaluations, you're looking at the ratios and so forth. Those are all very quantitative numbers. Those are numbers that we can pull from the annual report and so forth. Qualitative is all about the story, like you just said. So, you know, where's it growing? How's it growing? You know, what are the opportunities for them? Things that you can't quantify. You know, even product quality or their, you know, what their competitors are doing and so forth. Things that are really hard to quantify are the qualitative side. And qualitative is, I guess, where the value comes from. Quantitative is easier to do. Everyone can just pull the annual report and compare it. And unfortunately, quantitative tends to be lagging because you're looking at stuff from the last financial year or the last quarter or the last half year. But qualitative is all about looking forward. Right.
And identifying opportunities.
That's right. That's right. So that's why qualitative is where the value is. Being able to do good research on the qualitative side, try to find things that others can't, that's what's going to create value for you as an investor.
So let's talk about the risks. In your article, which we'll link to in the episode notes, there's currency, supply chains, and freight costs.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
So the supply chain disruptions, that's been a problem for Breville and pretty much everybody else. If that also ties into the freight costs. So freight costs are up more than, actually, since I wrote this, it's actually gone up for more than 5 times, I think to 10 times now. Freight costs are just completely out of control. You know, first we had that issue with the Suez Canal, but then we have another one with the Shenzhen port where the COVID situation there is still happening. They're only running at 30% capacity. So everything is getting delayed. The cost of sending, you know, a 20-foot container is gone ballistic. They've gone from $400, $500 in the off-season to more than $15K now, which is just a ridiculously crazy expense. Yeah. So that's a problem. The other one as well is because factories around the world were getting shut down. Breville did go ahead and put together a bit more inventory because he knew there was disruptions. But because more people bought more stuff, they've actually started running into inventory issues as well. Having said that, that's everybody. So that's a worldwide thing. The last thing, I guess, in terms of risk for this company is that 75% of the revenue comes from America. So if we have a situation where the USD devalues and the Aussie goes up, converting that revenue back into Australian dollars is going to be it's going to take a hit. And that's just, unfortunately, just the case with, we'll just have to see what happens. If the US inflation gets out of control, and their dollar goes, you know, takes a hit, then, that's going to be a problem. But once again, that's like any other stock that's got, a lot of revenue coming from the US, that's going to be a problem for them.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much for your time today. It's a great explanation about a great Aussie company.
No problem. Thanks for having me here.
Shares for Beginners is for information and educational purposes only. It isn't financial advice and you shouldn't buy or sell any investments based on what you've heard here. Any opinion or commentary is the view of the speaker only, not Shares for Beginners. This podcast doesn't replace professional advice regarding your personal financial needs, circumstances or current situation.
And thank you for listening to my podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.